This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, as we are creeping closer and closer, just a little bit over a week until Backlash in France. And this past Raw, we had a lot happen. You know, with the draft coming next week, you wouldn't think that this would be a very eventful version of Raw because they're trying to reset next week, and this would be just by the numbers, kind of hold the ship steady type of show, and that was not the case. I think we got a very good show here that emanated. I think it was a Cleveland, Ohio. Very good show. Eventful show. And there's a lot to talk about that we'll break down in just a minute. But tomorrow, guys, is the mailbag. If you want your emails read, head on over to your email and send me one at mailbag@wwepodcast.com. I know there's also some patrons that I missed last week that I will get to at the beginning of the show tomorrow. So look for that. But speaking of patrons, I'd like to welcome a few that have joined us. And that is Susie Harbin, Andrew Lucido. Thank you guys for joining us over the last couple of days. So why don't you guys join them? If you haven't already, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast because there's a lot I think we offer there for a very small investment on your end, starting at $1 a month, but there's also a 7-day free trial available on Patreon and on Apple Podcasts. So both of them offer ad-free experiences with a 1-week free trial on both. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty of Monday Night Raw. I feel like there's a lot of places we could start. I could start with the Drew burger after burger. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, I think. That was just wonderful. And we could talk about the Chad Gable just emasculation of his group and then asking for the support of them, which was great, great stuff. But I think I'll start with our new women's world champion, and that is Becky Lynch. You know, Rhea Ripley obviously had to relinquish the championship because of her injury, and it was sad for her. I felt for her. She just had begun the real run of her career. You know, it's finally at a point where she feels like she knows who and what she is, where for the first part of her career, it didn't. It felt like she was still trying to find herself, and now she's found herself and her gimmick and everything else, and in ring, it's all coming together, and bam, injury. Now, I think anybody that is thinking this is a work, it can be put to bed at this point. There's no way this is a work. No way. It just makes no sense. And even if it was a work, how is she going to reclaim her championship? You know, you can't. It's already been vacated and we have a new champion. So now you got to challenge for the belt. Why would Rhea go through all this just to have to challenge for the belt she just had? It makes no sense. So this is not a work. So I think, again, that's put to rest. But I think we have a champion now in Becky Lynch that is a bit polarizing for some. I think generally the fans feel okay about this. You know, I think that fans are kind of like, oh, okay, we know what to expect here. You know, Becky Lynch is champion, been there, done that. Okay, it's even though it's been a couple of years, it feels like it's been just 2 months, not 2 years. So it doesn't feel like it's been all that long, even though it has been a significant period of time. But I think Becky Lynch as champion doesn't get anyone really excited. I know that there's a few listeners out there like our patron Shahar, okay, over there in Israel. I know you're very excited about this, I'm sure. And rightfully so. If you're a Becky Lynch fan, hey, then you are elated today. And I think that though you are in the minority of people. Now, that's not to say the majority of people are going to boo her or disappointed, but kind of feel neutral about it. I think most people are looking at this saying, again, we kind of know what to expect from this. And it's also the same character that we've seen outside of her brief heel run since the WrestleMania 35 main event 5 years ago. That was a different time. The women's wrestling Evolution has, you know, was peaking at that point, and we were really trying to get themselves a foothold, and Becky Lynch was into the, you know, heading into the promised land. The fans had felt that she had been, you know, misbooked, misused, misappropriated for many, many years, and they willed her to a babyface role. They wanted her to be champion, and they made it happen at WrestleMania 35 in what was like a 15-hour long show, it felt like. So praise God for the two-night main events, or two nights of WrestleMania now, because I think it's something that is perfect for that event. But this is not, you know, 5 years ago. This is not 2019. This is 2024, and yet we still largely have the same Becky Lynch, same entrance music, same mannerisms, same look generally. Her promos have been up and down. Again, she's not cold. She's not ice cold. She's not in jeopardy of being fired. Okay, like some people, like, by the way, very, very hard detour. There were some releases over the last several days with WWE. I think everyone in the industry has been let go. So the Veer Mahan report is no longer, for those that listen to the mailbag. I know others have been released too. And maybe we'll talk about that on the mailbag tomorrow. But my point about Becky Lynch is she's not in danger of being released by the company. She's still a very valuable asset. She just doesn't feel exciting. Now, it came down to her and Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan has been the number two for a while, and she nearly won the match. And they were taking some hard bumps. My God, the bumps they were taking on the apron. You might as well just throw yourself on the concrete. Anybody that thinks that that's, it's still the ring. I'd rather be thrown on the floor. The outside of the ring is the structure of the ring. There's no give. Zero. You are throwing yourself on a solid surface, like concrete. So, I mean, the women were taking bumps outside. I mean, Liv Morgan taking a manhandle slam on the apron. I give her credit. She must be sore as hell this morning. That's just a rough move to take. There's no easy or fun way to take any of those bumps on the apron. My God. But Liv Morgan nearly won. She didn't. We have a new women's champion. And it looks like they're playing the long game here with Becky Lynch. And usually when you have a babyface lose a belt, it'll go, because of injury, it'll then be supplanted to another babyface. In this case, it's kind of weird because you have Rhea Ripley, who has been on paper a heel in a heel group, but gotten a babyface reaction for several months now. So you could, I guess, call her a babyface. It's a weird, it's a unique situation with Rhea Ripley, where she has been and has been such a fun character to watch in the Judgment Day for so long, even though you know most of the time the Judgment Day as a whole, as a group, gets booed. Rhea Ripley has been that bright light in the group that the fans continue to cheer for. And so you could say that this was supplanted from one babyface to another in Becky Lynch. But again, Becky Lynch doesn't have that organic support anymore. No one is sitting there going, oh my God, I shouldn't say nobody. Most people are not sitting there going, I can't wait to see what the next Becky Lynch title run looks like. Who's saying that? I mean, we know what it's going to look like. We know what it is. We know she's the man. We know, like, you know, we know what she's about. We know her sayings. The man has come around to all these things. We know this. You know, like it's just kind of more of the same. But here's the thing. I'm going to try to take a positive spin on this, because Becky Lynch seems like a very smart woman. And I recently heard her say in an interview that she's always, I think it might have been with Chris Van Vliet. It might have been with him, where she's navigating how to be a mom and all that kind of thing now. She said she's always trying to evolve, always trying to, you know, evolve her character, evolve and get better and all that. I believe her. It just hasn't really translated, I think, to the casual viewer. If you don't believe me, just listen to the crowd reaction over the last year. It's been very mild. It hasn't been booze. It's just been kind of fans, I think, have leveled off on their love for Becky. They just know what she is. And I think that her taking time off after WrestleMania would have been a very good thing. And they decided, hey, Rhea's injured. We got to bring her back. That's what it seems like to me. where her and Seth were slated to take time off. Now, Seth apparently has gotten knee surgery, so he's going to be out for several months. We could have Charlotte, CM Punk, Rhea Ripley all come back in the same month or 2 months. It's going to be crazy. I mean, the summertime is going to be filled with big returns, including The Rock. So it's going to be a very exciting summer, I think. But I think that you have Rhea Ripley, who, again, was about to excel to the next level. And they said, oh, crap, we need a fill in here. We got to call an audible. Becky, where are you? I know you're going to take a bunch of time off. And I think that would have been the best thing for her career, which is weird that you would say that taking time off is better than becoming champion for the long haul of her career. But I think it is. I was ready to say goodbye to Becky for a few months. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt, but this felt very much like, crap, Rhea's injured. Becky, I'm sorry. We gave you time off, but you got to come back. We need you. That's kind of what this felt like for me. You know, and I would have been fine with a Liv Morgan title run, but I would have been even more excited, honestly, for a Nia Jax title run. Why? She has been arguably one of the most improved stars in the last 6 to 12 months. In all facets. In the ring, on the mic. I feel like she has just started to find herself, find her voice on the promos especially. In ring, she's looked a little smoother. A little bit more or less mechanical. A little less dangerous, to be honest. And she's a bigger woman, so her body moves at a slower pace. So she has to adapt to that. And her opponents also have to adapt to that, where she is a very unique body size. So, you know, she's not the typical woman you're working with, which I think is also a contributing factor to the injuries over the years, of course. But my point about Nia Jax is, while I was not excited about her return, and I was actually against it, and I still have issues with her on levels outside of pro wrestling, I can also at the same time say that I think she would have been a more interesting choice to become champion. Because also, not as she also the most, in my mind, women's side of things, especially the most improved, but we've never seen it before either. She's never been women's champion. So you had a chance to make history. They all love talking about making their history, and this is history, and we're doing that history. This is only the first time in history. Don't they love that stuff? They love that stuff. So in the main event of Monday Night Raw, they didn't make her champion. Now, that's why it tells me they have, I think, bigger plans looking ahead for, okay, how long is Rhea out? Now, none of us know that. WWE is keeping that close to the vest. But if Rhea's out for a few months, Becky Lynch is still the title holder, then you have a rematch from WrestleMania. And I think they could sell that at SummerSlam. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch, you know, a WrestleMania rematch. They could sell it. Do I want that? Not really. I'm honestly ready for Becky and Rhea to move on from one another as opponents. I'm ready to see, honestly, Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley in a big fight title situation. Because I think Nia Jax, she feels different. And it is because of her size, but also because of her look and her promos. She sounds, her voice is annoying, but I mean that in a complimentary way if you're a heel. She naturally has an annoying voice. Just her day-to-day voice is nasally and it's obnoxious. But as much as a criticism as that sounds, it's perfect if you're a heel. Seth Rollins has the same problem. It's just this, just by default, you have an annoying voice. Sorry, it's just you do. But it works very well for Seth's heel character, and he's made it work with his babyface character to a large degree. So my point about this is, I was a bit disappointed that Becky Lynch won. You see it and you go, okay. Like most fans probably were like, oh, okay. You know, and she got cheered. But I think a lot of it has to do, too, with the fans being in attendance for a major title victory, major title change. Fans are almost cheering for themselves being there, and it ramps up the level of excitement. It's not necessarily that the fans are excited about who won, but rather they're in attendance to see a title change, because that doesn't happen often if you attend live events. So, all that being said, fans, I think, are generally lukewarm, but not cold or booing Becky, just kind of, again, cool, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, right? That's what it feels like. You know, not anger, not annoyance, just kind of. So I think I've belabored my point, but let's move on to another topic here. And Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, man. Okay. This was just awesome. Now we have Drew McIntyre coming out and complaining about Punk again and trying to keep their feud alive to eventually a Punk return, which I don't know when that date is. We don't know yet. It seems like it could be a month or two away before he's ready for in-ring action. So they're going to try to string this along as best they can, keeping Punk in the minds of fans and not letting it trail off. See, that's the danger when you don't have somebody who's able to compete. When you start an angle, you can't have that person get physically involved, so it's hard to keep the fans involved if you start an angle, but you can't really follow through on it for a few months. So there's that gap of time they have to fill. But Drew does his thing and complains about Punk and how he is the only one telling the truth, and I love that about Drew. And trolling the fans of saying, you know, if you French kiss your cousin, say what? And some, there was a good handful of people that said what? Just idiots. And I mean, it's just, I'm sorry. Like, if you say that, either you don't care or you just don't understand what he's doing to you. The latter is a little bit more embarrassing. But I love everything that Drew has done. Everything about his character, he does speak the truth. And he doesn't see any faults in himself. It's brilliant. And then you have Sheamus come out to his music. And God, I love his old music so much more. And he looks like he's already starting to lose weight. I mean, in a week, it looks like he's dropped 10 pounds. So, I mean, that's been the case. And, you know, a lot of commentary was spent on particularly, yeah, Cole and McAfee were talking about his weight. And, oh, you know, Cole trying to cover. He looks in amazing shape. Like, Cole, shut up. No, he doesn't. Okay. Not compared to what he did. Look at the side-by-side. I know what he's doing. It's family to him. He's protecting the stars. He's clapping back at the criticism online. I understand what Cole's doing. But when Cole said Sheamus looks like incredible shape. It's like, Cole, stop. Like, I love you, Cole. I do. I think he's an unsung hero in the company. But Cole, stop it. Please, don't insult our intelligence. Like, clearly he's not in really good shape compared to what he was. Now, is he in good shape compared to the general American public? Yes, but that's not the standard we hold him to. We hold him to the standard of what he was and generally what a pro wrestler should be. In terms of how much time you dedicate to your craft, you should be in phenomenal shape. And Sheamus just returned and he wasn't. So Cole just blatantly lying or believing his own lie. Nonetheless, even McAfee jumped in and was talking about how Sheamus looked. He looks incredible. It's like, shut up, guys. Like, I mean, they're covering for his boy, but again, no, he's not compared to what he should be and did look like. Now, do I care that Sheamus has put on weight? I don't give a damn. I don't care. It means nothing to me other than it's a talking point for a lot of people. I'm only bringing it up because of the announcers who are blatantly lying to us. Again, fine. But the best part about this wasn't even that. The best part about this was Sheamus talking to Drew and how they've had banger after banger after banger, which that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on to the point of just, okay, stop. And then Drew said that, as long as we're spitting truth here, ever since you came back, it looks like you've had burger after burger after burger. I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, can we make this a t-shirt? Can we? Oh, that was awesome. And even Sheamus, you could tell, genuinely was laughing at that. And it was just awesome. I mean, Drew has just been a delight. An absolute just Monday night treat. That's what he's been. He's like the dessert of Monday Night Raw. He's been awesome. I have zero complaints about his character, zero complaints about in-ring. He has found this version of himself that we didn't know existed. It's this kind of hybrid version of himself, but also this lack of self-awareness that he isn't always the hero in everything he says and does. And he views himself as just this truth speaker that just lays out the truth. And if they don't like it, that's too bad, but sees no fault in himself. It's all awesome. Awesome stuff. So that was just great. Just brilliant. I mean, my God, the burger after burger, it tickled me silly. Have I ever said that on the show? I don't think so. All right, but we kicked off Raw, as I talked a little bit about other things on Raw, but we kicked off Raw with Jey Uso. I mean, well, the promo for the Women's Battle Royal, but I already talked about that. Jey Uso came out and did the usual yeet thing. Yeet is still super over. And we had Jey Uso quickly interrupted by Damian Priest, and he wanted to congratulate Jey, and he said he never spoke about it publicly, but there was one night when Jey whooped his ass so bad but that he approached him in the locker room and told him he earned his respect. By the way, Jey Uso has been in the company a lot longer than Priest has. Why is it important for Jey to obtain the respect of Priest? Priest should be obtaining the respect of Jey. So that was kind of a weird thing, but nonetheless, it still worked out just fine. I think Priest had a very nice demeanor in this kind of just a different feel to his character instead of coming out in his promo voice. He just kind of just spoke to Jey. And Priest recalled Jey telling him what they were next. And Priest said he was proud to stand next to Jey. And Priest told Jey that he was half right. He said, "I was next," Priest said, while pointing to the title belt as proof. And Priest said Jey was the first in a long list of wrestlers that the Machine would feed him to make him look good. And Priest started to leave, but Jey asked him to stay. A little bit too much fourth wall breaking here, which I know has gone by the wayside of caring about kayfabe and all that. But it's nice once in a while to have it protected again. I know you can't put the milk back in the udder or the, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of analogies here. But it's nice once in a while to just try to make it feel like there's a bit of a fourth wall that you don't talk about. So Priest saying that Jey is the first in a long line of wrestlers that he's going to be fed to because you know, or seemingly, that there's almost no chance that the first major title defense off of WrestleMania, especially after somebody just won it, there's no chance of that person winning. Now, is it impossible? Maybe they're going to pull a swerve. It's very possible that Jey wins at Backlash. Is it likely? No, not at all. But still a fun interaction, one that I think was very much needed because I didn't feel like there was a ton of personal issues with Jey and Priest. They were just the old enemies, old friends, and then they're coming back together just out of happenstance that Jey won the number one contendership a few weeks ago on the Fatal 4-Way that main evented Raw where Punk screwed over Drew. So it needed a little bit of a flame here. It needed something to get the fans interested and invested into why we should care if Jey wins or loses. But this ended with JD McDonagh coming in the ring, tried to attack Jey. Jey averted the attack and attempted to super kick JD, which he inducted, and he ended up hitting Priest. So there's a lot of tension here generally with the Judgment Day. Just overall, a ton of tension. It seems like Priest is telling them to stay out of his business, which he did after this segment. And we have Dom just making decisions without asking Priest. Everybody's screwing up. JD ends up inadvertently getting a super kick hit into Priest from Jey. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I mean that in a good way because it seems like this group is about ready to split. Does that happen in the draft next week? We'll find out. All right. So we then have Awesome Truth and The Miz. Well, Awesome Truth is The Miz and R-Truth versus DIY for the World Tag Team titles. This match was 10 minutes long, and as predicted, Awesome Truth beats Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa to retain the World Tag Team titles. And then after the match, Gargano shook hands and Ciampa declined to do so. So Ciampa could be in line for a heel turn. We're seeing a lot of those lately. So fun to see, though. You know, R-Truth and The Miz, enjoy it while it lasts, guys. This is going to be, they may not make it out of Backlash as champions. I mean, the next time they defend them, they could lose them. It could be that quick. It really could. And hey, R-Truth had his moment. And The Miz and R-Truth have chemistry together, and sure, Awesome Truth is a fun little tag team, but it seems, though, that they might be looking towards the future and what that could look like, and this could be, you know, it could go back to DIY, or it could go to DIY, I should say, or another tag team like, the Creed Brothers. You know, the Creed Brothers, where are they? They've been MIA for quite some time, or they pop in and out with absolutely no character development, but boy, do they bring it in the ring. I mean, the Creed Brothers are just also, every time you see them in the ring, you know you're going to get a professional wrestling match. And I think, you know, that's what they have to hang their hat on right now. But okay, so then in the ring, Imperium was there, and Gunther said that for 666 days, ominous number there, he elevated the Intercontinental title to heights never seen before and became the greatest champion in the title's history. He said the weight of being a target and living up to everyone's expectations has now lifted off his shoulders, and he thanks Sami Zayn while saying he's no longer a target. Gunther said he is now the hunter rather than the hunted, and he declared that he'll be in the King of the Ring tournament. He said he will then figure out which championship he wants to target, and Gunther warned the champion he targets. So, without naming the title by name, did say he could go after any title he wants. And, you know, the King of the Ring tournament has not exactly excited people over the last many years. It also feels weird that you have bigger stars who are declaring themselves to be in the match. It feels... Well, first of all, you can't just declare yourself in something. I mean, if you're able to declare yourself in matches and then it just happens, well, if declaration is a way to earn a match and it's an automatic pass, then why wouldn't everyone just say, next week on Raw, I'm declaring myself in a world title match with Damian Priest? I mean, why is it select matches that they can just declare themselves into? I mean, the Rumble is the biggest offender, and now we have the King of the Ring tournament that is being just got to have a declaration. As long as, do you have a declaration? All right, come on in. How do I get one? Well, you just say it. You know, I know. Some people don't care. Most people don't care, but it's a little bit. It's obnoxious to me that you have something like this where it's very pick and choose how you just get in a match like this. However, it's no longer the Queen's Crown. We can just effing say Queen of the Ring, which is what it should have been from the get-go. And Zelina Vega won it the last time, and she pretended. She adopted that instant British accent and called people their subjects and carried a scepter and suddenly turned heel. Like, the typical turn that comes with winning a King or Queen of the Ring. And I hope they don't do that this time. And also, having these big names enter, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. On one hand, you're thinking to yourself, they're way above this. Yeah, way above it. Didn't Drew say he's in King of the Ring as well? And Gunther too? So you have two major stars already declaring themselves in the King of the Ring tournament. And that's interesting, again, because you have two massive stars in there that don't need this victory at all. Because King of the Ring traditionally has been an informal message to the fans about who they view as their next bigger star or a potentially big star over the coming months and years. It's a sign of where they want to go. Much like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that has all been but forgotten. But it is kind of like that. There's no real prize other than you get to play dress up every week if you want to carry a scepter and wear a cape and, you know, pretend it's Halloween for 52 weeks of the year. I mean, that's really what that's become. So on the other hand, while I complain about it, it also does add prestige and meaning and value to the tournament that has been usually subjugated to younger talent, underutilized talent. And then you have to pick through and sift through who you think they might have win to then push them to the next level, whatever that may be. So it is a bit of a double-edged sword here. However, that's not the point of this segment here, because we did get Beyond Gunther telling us that he's warning everyone. The New Day comes out And Kofi and Woods. Woods boasts that he is the reigning and defending King of the Ring. Again, not a flex there, Xavier. Not a flex at all, as the kids would say. No cap. It's really not. It's not a flex. And also being a multi-time King of the Ring, that they say Bret Hart's one of the only ones or the last one to do it or whatever the stat was. So the Hitman, which... like back then, there was a different prestige to King of the Ring. We know the moments that have come out of King of the Ring. And you notice the only moments that are significant that they put out there for the men's side of things are the ones they recycle every time they pull the tournament up, which is King Booker, which was a lot of fun with Charmel, Queen Charmel. A lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. You have Kurt Angle. There's a big shot of Kurt Angle. And the number one, which is... Austin 316 that was birthed at King of the Ring 96. Like, that's it. A little bit of Triple H too. But they're still pulling on clips from 25 years ago plus to make you care about the King of the Ring. And now, to be fair, King of the Ring has not been an annual event. There are sometimes multi-years over the last 20 in which they don't do it, forget about it, and when they do pull it out of their ass, it usually is something that is just for novelty. There's no real prize to be won. Other than, again, if you want to just magically adopt a British accent and sit on a pretend throne and play community theater for the rest of your, you know, not career, but the rest of the year. However, you guys, I think you know what I'm going to say here, right? Because Woods said Gunther was a pretender to his throne and, Woods said he intended to cement his legacy by becoming a two-time King of the Ring. Again, I would not put two-time King of the Ring winner on my resume because it doesn't have that cachet. It doesn't have that kind of value that you think it does. No one is aiming for two-time King of the Ring. Tell me somebody that is saying to themselves, man, my goal next year, hey, I know I've won King of the Ring before, but wouldn't that be awesome if I won it twice? No. No one's saying that. Because it doesn't matter. At least it didn't under Vince. We'll see what Triple H does with King of the Ring. Got to remember, as we're told, every 5 minutes, it's a new era. So in case you didn't know, it's a new era. So Gunther said he would reestablish the image of King of the Ring. And while Woods remembered as being a weird guy that won accidentally and covered himself in gold, and Kingston and Woods mocked Gunther for having no gold of his own. You know, there was an easy comeback to Woods here. They started going off in their weird, you know, 14-year-old selves about he lost his gold and all this stuff. I would have said, hey, Woods, when's the last time you even carried gold? That was right there. Like, bruh. And they're terribleness. I put this on X, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I'm serious. How can anyone watch The New Day and not get secondhand embarrassment within about 12 seconds? If you don't feel embarrassed watching this, then I don't think you actually like professional wrestling. You know, I understand there needs to be a little goofiness, a little comedy. I understand that they are trying to be a little bit of everything to everyone. There's drawbacks to that because you don't specialize in one area and you're not like, you know, you don't become an expert in one area when you're trying to serve multiple masters. That's beside the point. Because what the New Day bring to the table right now, as I've said for years, is pure embarrassing content. You can't tell me that if you had a friend over and that you were trying to get them into wrestling and this segment comes on and you're sitting there on the couch with your friend, and this segment comes on, that you aren't completely mortified by how awful this is. You know, and I understand that Woods is very good in the ring. I understand Kofi's good in the ring. I get that. Their characters are like from my personal hell. Maybe some of you feel the same way too. Just everything about them is so off-putting. It's not funny. I don't even think if I was 13 years old, I'd even find this funny. They are just, I don't even know what to say about them. I feel embarrassed even thinking about it. I feel like I'm blushing, sitting here, embarrassed. embarrassed to be a part of the product watching this. I know that sounds extreme, sounds dramatic, but it's been going on now for, what, 10 years that this group's been formed? And thank God Big E is in the hair. He never made it any better outside of his kind of singles run that turned out back into a singles run that turned back to a singles run. But when he was with the New Day, Big E didn't help. He was Mr. Gyrating all the time. And they're still doing the W. They're still hip swiveling. Are we still doing this? Oh, he's going on in one of his rants. Yeah. New Day's awful. At least their characters are embarrassing. You should feel embarrassed as a fan watching the New Day. If you are entertained by them, if you like them, if you smile anyway, even internally, we have nothing in common with pro wrestling then. like none, nothing. So I think I've said my piece. I had to get one rant in for those of you that hate when I talk crap about wrestling. I mean, don't worry, there's more coming. So you'll love this show even more as we go on. Okay. Now, Gunther said that this was beneath him, and he's exactly right. I mean, you talk about somebody that just oozes respect for the business, and then others that are just complete clowns of the brand. You couldn't be more diametrically opposed. But Gunther told Kaiser and Vinci to take care of business, and we got New Day versus Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. That was a good match, but, I mean, it wasn't anything that really anyone's going to remember. Why? Because the end of this was the New Day winning and then having the New Day, Ludwig Kaiser, turn on Giovanni Vinci in a brutal way. Coming back around the ring after security was there to hit him with the dropkick into the stairs was also a lot of fun. The crowd chanting, "Holy S." Really? Yeah, have they ever seen an extreme moment in professional wrestling? Like, ring steps are the things that do it for you? Hey, your standards, I mean, if you enjoyed it that much, I mean, cool. It just wouldn't have been something coming out of my mouth, I guess. If I saw someone get their, you know, the head kicked into the steel steps, I wouldn't have said, "Oh my God," right? A lot more extreme stuff. However, on the flip side, the positive side, see how I'm trying to be positive too? It did add to the moment. It made it feel more important, even if I think the chant was a little bit ridiculous. It did add to the moment. And Giovanni Vinci is now a babyface because he got blindsided. This was an attack ordered by Gunther. We got confirmation of that after Ludwig Kaiser went back through the curtain. So it is confirmed that the orders did come down from Gunther. And I just don't know what they're going to do with Giovanni Vinci, though, who has said about three words total in his career. I don't know if they think they see a big star in something that we don't. Maybe. Let's give this guy a chance. Hashtag give Giovanni a chance. Seriously. I mean that in half of a mocking way. But, you know, before we all pass judgment on him, let's see what they do with him. All right. We then have the McIntyre and Sheamus promo, which, again, as I mentioned, the burger after burger was a lot of fun. And again, the whole fat shaming of Sheamus. You know, the last thing I'll say in this, if you cannot take criticism and the company can't take criticism from the paying customer that dumped millions of dollars into the company every single year, and they can't take criticism on their stars that are in the public eye voluntarily, being public figures, and they can't take the criticism and they feel the need to clap back. I mean, I understand the need and want to do that. You're protecting your talent. You're protecting those that are in your family. I understand that. But if anyone is actually angry about the fans doing this, then I don't understand how your brain works. Because if anybody's in the public eye willingly and you do this for a significant period of time, are we only supposed to say nice things if we see something that we don't like? And I'm not saying Sheamus's body fat increase specifically. I'm just saying generally, you know, just if anyone can't take criticism and you're in the public eye willingly, you're in the wrong place. But we got Sheamus versus Shinsuke, and Sheamus didn't look like he missed a beat. He beat Shinsuke in 11 minutes. and McIntyre didn't get involved, which is also a nice change. You know, he thought McIntyre was going to do something, screw someone, and he didn't. He didn't at all. We then got backstage Bronson Reed attacking Sami Zayn after an interview. So Bronson Reed, big Bronson Reed, is now targeting Sami Zayn and the Intercontinental Championship. So I have no issue with this. I mean, fresh matchups. That's what I look at this as. So now we get Gable, who was in the ring with Otis, Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri, and the crowd was booing him pretty hard, and that was really nice to hear. Gable said that Zayn has had a rough couple of weeks, but what he did to him was justified. He said he could accept losing to Zayn, but he accused Zayn of rubbing it in by bringing the belt over to him while he was down, and he found his wife and rubbed it in more. And he said Gable said it should have been him at WrestleMania, and he wasted his time training Zayn and a bunch of freaking losers. Gable asked Tozawa if he had a problem with that, and Gable told Mr. Funny Man that he does his little dance and racks up loss after loss, and then told Dupri she's as pretty as a princess but dumb as a box of rocks, and Gable gave her everything and got nothing in return, and he told Otis that he's his prize pupil and number one guy and said, quote, "You have proven yourself beyond the shadow of a doubt to be the biggest disappointment of them all." And then he said that they all signed up for the academy to get honest feedback, and he told them to get on the same page and know that from now on, the focus is on him. We're all going to win the Intercontinental Championship, my Intercontinental Championship, together. And you're going to help me no matter what. And he made all of them say no matter what, and specifically Otis saying no matter what. And then he exited. This was great. Again, a narcissistic-filled promo that was believable. Gable delivered on every level. This is fun. And I would have been fine with Gable staying a babyface. I wasn't sitting there going, oh, man, he's kind of stale. And no, I love the Gable babyface. He's a very easily likable guy. Undersized, great in-ring wrestler. He doesn't have an annoying voice. Olympic athlete. Like, he's got all the credentials and the look and the feel of an underdog that you want to cheer for. But he was able to turn it on its head and make you hate him. He berated everybody, calling Maxxine Dupri stupid, essentially. Even though she's pretty, she's stupid. He didn't say that exactly, but that was the implication. Tozawa is just this loser that dances and then loses every match he has, and then calling Otis a complete disappointment. And then also at the same time, right directly after he berates them all publicly, then makes them pledge their allegiance to him to win his belt back, that it's now going to be all about him. I mean, it's just crafted from brilliance. This was great. Executed to perfection. And you do wonder how long it's going to take before Otis snaps or Tozawa leaves or Maxxine leaves. And credit to all three of those men and women, too, because they all were there still with him. But you could read the body language that they're there reluctantly. And that was also a lot of fun to watch. So this was just great. Really fun to see Gable as the new heel here, and in the suit, of course, and seeing how long he can string along the Alpha Academy before they end up turning on him. So good stuff. All right. Then we have Nia Jax backstage, and she said there would be 14 women and one monster in the match, and called herself the monster, and she would eliminate all of them. It didn't happen. We got Ricochet and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and JD McDonagh. Longer tag match here with 12 minutes and 40 seconds. Where Ricochet and Andrade beat Santos and JD McDonagh. And it happened after Andrade hit a back elbow on Escobar and hit his finish on McDonagh and got the victory. And then after the match, though, Damian Priest comes in, attacks Andrade and Ricochet, and hit a razor's edge on Ricochet and hit South of Heaven on Andrade. So, you know, Priest comes in, does what he needs to do. They're trying to make the most of this run, however long it lasts. See what they have. Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle with Damien. You don't know. It's possible. Even though most of us do look at him as exactly what Drew said last week, and that's a transitional champion, it's still not out of the realm of possibility that we actually catch lightning in a bottle and he starts to catch fire and we all are going, hey, let's continue this run. I don't think it's likely. But I at least like how they're pushing him. He was in the opening segment. He was in the final segment outside of the women. You know, he's in the men's main events, quote unquote.
So, you know, this is a just a really good deal here. And again, Jey Uso saying he wants to live up to his name. I agree. Jey Uso is mega over. And I see Jey Uso winning a world championship maybe sometime this year. You know, I think it's a more than good chance that that happens. All right. But then we got a whole bunch of, you know what? There was a lot of promotion for this battle royal. We got Caden Carter and Katana Chance who were shown warming up. Zoe Stark video aired, and Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae were being interviewed by Kathy Kelly backstage. Lynch was interviewed, and Liv Morgan and eventually came out and slapped hands with fans, which is kind of weird considering she's a heel. So this was it's something that they didn't have to do, or at least that we're not used to them doing, but maybe we should be used to them doing it as an expectation just by default. And even in battle royals, you can get comments from those that, you know, even though you don't think they have a chance in hell, maybe that their promo can give you a little bit of a sliver of hope. You know, Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, you know, what about them, you know? And, you know, you have Zoe Stark, specifically Zoe Stark, right? You have Zoe Stark video. You're thinking, no, not a chance. Then you see the Zoe Stark video and you're like, well, I don't know. So I really appreciate the effort to at least get a few of the women who are involved in the Battle Royal that you knew didn't even have a chance, at least some kind of hope to fans that, okay, it's not going to be Liv, or you know, maybe it's not Liv or Becky or Nia. Outside of those three, is there somebody that's a dark horse? But it's a 15-woman battle royal, and it ended again with Becky Lynch becoming your WWE Women's World Champion. And next week, obviously a massive week coming up this Friday, starting this Friday with the draft, ending next Monday Night Raw with the draft. So I would imagine that those drafts, those new rosters take effect the following week after Backlash, which makes sense. And then we'll be off to the races and they can start having crossover matches right away. You know, that's the thing. How about this, guys? Under the Triple H regime, how long do you think in number of weeks? Let's start with weeks. Do you think it takes before they have someone from Raw go to SmackDown or someone from SmackDown go to Raw? I'm not talking announcers. I'm not talking even GMs, right? Like Adam Pearce and the SmackDown GM. Nick Aldis. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the wrestlers. How long does it take before they violate their rules? Last year, it was like 0 weeks. It was like the day that the roster went into effect. We'll see this year. Maybe Triple H has a little bit more respect for the draft. But I don't know. I have my doubts. So that'll do it tonight for the the Monday Night Raw review. You guys can catch me on the ad-free version of the show at patreon.com/WWE podcast. You can also check us out on Apple and hit that subscribe button and go ad-free there. And tomorrow I'll be back with the mailbag that is sure to be a lot of fun. I'm going to try to catch up on old messages, maybe even try to get to those old voicemails, those old crusty voicemails that are sitting in my my voicemail box that I can dust off and hit play on for you. But of course, if you have new voicemails, I encourage you to still send them. You know, I do make an effort and I do try to prioritize patrons, even though I always miss them. So I miss a few somehow every week and I don't know how the hell I do it. But all right, that'll do it for me, everybody. I appreciate all the support. Continue to hit that follow on whatever social media platform that you can find us on. And also, I'm on X. If you guys want to follow my tweets, you can do so at wrestling_audio, which really you can just search the WWE podcast. We're also verified. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.